Today I want to talk to you about, obviously, Thanksgiving. We challenge to Thanksgiving. And we need to be challenged about Thanksgiving because we need to be thankful daily, not yearly, or just yearly. But praise God, we concentrate for one particular day. And I'm glad it is a national day of Thanksgiving. That's what we need. We have so much to be thankful for. So we want to start this off with a psalm. Book of Psalms, chapter 100, great psalm, and it is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving for God's faithfulness. Amen. Praise God. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, you'd bless, encourage, and strengthen each of us through the scripture, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a day where, and it's always been, I suppose, in humanity, there's lots of whining and complaining about some stuff, and we seem to be masters at finding out how wrong things are, while rarely seeing how good God has made life for us. We have it good, but we are blessed, so blessed. God has been so gracious to us. God owed us nothing, didn't have to do anything, but he chose to love us, he chose to care, he chose to make a way for us, he chose to make eternal life possible for us, he chose to make forgiveness of sins and lift us above discouragement, depression, despair. God chose that for you and I. Amen. This doesn't mean that you won't have struggles in these places, but it means that you'll have God to help you. Praise the Lord. And so God wants us to be content, and it's hard to be content sometimes. But in 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing away. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." My friend, we're a blessed people. Be thankful that you have something to eat, you have something to wear. Man, and most of the ladies here have plenty to wear. More shoes. Anyway, I'll stop there on that one. The Psalms 100 is a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. And so I want to just start. Let's get right into the scripture here, you know. And the writer here just gives this psalm of thanksgiving, actually a song. I'll try not to sing it to you. Okay, so don't worry. But in this short illustration here, in his book, Folk Psalms of Faith, Ray Steadman tells an experience H.A. Ironside, preacher of the gospel, had in a crowded restaurant. Just as Ironside was about to begin his meal, a man approached and asked if he could join him. Ironside said, sure, invited him to have a seat. And then, as was his custom, Mr. Ironside bowed his head in prayer to thank God for the food. The stranger said, "Why do you have your head bowed? Are you sick or something? Is something wrong with the food?" He said, "No, I was simply thanking God, as I always do before I eat." And so that's a good testimony, because he not only just ask God for things, but thank God for what was sitting right before him. We don't have to search very far to find something good to thank God for. Amen. When I was growing up, my mother didn't ever let me open my eyes when I was praying. I don't know how she could see whether or not I was praying or not, but anyway. So I told her one day, the Bible does say watch and pray. That didn't help. But Thanksgiving. First verse here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. And joyful because we have been delivered from sin and its consequences. Joy because we're forgiven and restored to a right relationship with God. We can talk to God. We can come before God. We can worship God. We can know that He's there, and He said, I'll never leave you. And by faith, we can know that He is always with us. Praise the Lord. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Joyful because we have been given a place in God's eternity, which He didn't owe us, but He gave it to us freely. Joyful because we're at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that things are taken care of. Peace that you're in right relationship with God. Peace that you don't have to stare at an eternity without God, but peace that you can have an eternity with Christ as your Savior. Know that you've been born again. Know that you're on your way to heaven. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. And if we remember the Old Testament, there was a time when Israel went in to take Canaan's land, and their first conquest would be the town of Jericho. And they would march around Jericho 7 times, and the last time they would march around, they would shout. And Joshua said, don't shout until I tell you to. And so they marched around it 7 times. The 7th time, Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And we know the walls of Jericho fell down flat, the Bible says. And they fell down and they took the city, and God gave them victory because they were obedient to Him. And there was a shout of joy when that city had been conquered and God had begun to start the work of giving them the Canaan's promised land. Amen. So there's a lot of things to be joyful for. Just make a joyful shout to the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, we find that Philip went down to Samaria and preached. And Jews and Samaritans just didn't get along with each other. Jews were Jewish people. Samaritans were a mixed race of everything, various kinds, kind of like Americans. But anyway, they were a mixed race, and so Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. But when it came to preaching the gospel, Jesus said, go to all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And so Philip, in obedience to that, went down to Samaria and began to preach. And God did powerful things there. Demons were cast out. Sick people were healed. People were saved by the power of God. And the Bible says that there was great joy in that city. They had reason to make a joyful shout or joyful noise to the Lord. And so we find there that it's scripture also to shout, to have joy. Amen. And I can tell you, friends, you say, well, I don't believe you have to shout when you go to church. I don't believe you have to either. I don't believe it makes God nervous. He's not nervous about anything. But we find that in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, which is a picture of heaven right after the rapture of the church. And we find that there's going to be shouting in heaven when the saints of God, you and I, we're at our final destination. I doubt if we'll be quiet. Amen. We're not quiet at a lot of things, but there, you know, when we realize we've passed through this world, we've finally reached home, there's going to be shouting on the hills of glory, friends, Lord. Amen. I could go right now. Hallelujah. If He wants to call, that's fine. Praise the Lord. We'll be going up, but there'll be shouting on heaven, no doubt about it. Praise the Lord. And the Revelation, the Revelator, the Apostle John, he sees heaven in chapter 4, verse 10. He says, he sees 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne. 24 elders, many believe, referring to the 12 tribes of Israel, Old Testament church, 12 apostles of the Lamb, New Testament church, 24 elders. Fall down before the throne and give him for him, worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns at His feet, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. My friend, that's speaking about us when we get to heaven. When we're there at the rapture of the church, we're going to fall at his feet and cry, holy. We're going to cast our crowns at his feet and claim that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, there's going to be shouting on the hills of glory. Amen. And so it tells us here in the psalm that says, shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Praise the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 2 says, we can be glad that we are no longer servants of sin and evil. We're servants of God. And so you're born again and you're made a servant of God. And servant here is equal with word we would call slave. But servant in Scripture has a far different meaning. We think a slave is somebody who is beaten into submission. But that's not what it means here. We're servants. We're to serve God. And it's a privilege to serve God. You say, well, I don't want to belong to anybody. I do. I want to belong to God. And it says here in Scripture, we find in Romans chapter 6, we find that it says, do you not know that you to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, and being made free from sin, you became servants, slaves of righteousness. My friend, it's a wonderful thing to be free and to be a servant of God. And when we think about being a servant of God, we're not thinking about a cruel God that just beats us into submission. We're thinking about a God who says, come here, I want you to walk with me. I want you to live for me. I want you to serve with me. I've got wonderful things in eternity prepared for you. Amen. The Bible says, I have not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And I know that God wants us to love him, serve him. He has got the greatest eternity anybody could ever imagine. My friend, let's not be slaves of sin, but let's be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can shout for joy. Praise the Lord. And to come before his presence with singing. For the past year or so, we have been doing, along with Tom and Jennifer Lowe, we've been doing some prison ministry. And come there, and this particular place that we're doing is we minister to the women there, and it's not a high security place because, you know, most of the prisoners there are women that have been in a caught with drugs or you know, or things that at home or that have been troubling and marriage issues and stuff, and it just problems with children. And so, but the one thing they want is freedom. And they're not high security. They're not there for life. They're there usually for a few months or half a year or a year. But as you minister to them, you realize those young women, they want freedom. Not all of them young. They want freedom. But they've been in bondage is what got them there. They were bound by this, that, or the other, either bound by sinful habits that have got them where they are, but they want freedom. And so we pray for them, we preach to them, we pray for them. They want freedom, but they need freedom from self. And most, probably the greatest idolatry in America is self. People worship of self. What can you do for me? What can the government do for me? What can I do? What can you do for me? What can you give me? Where are all the freebies at? You know, if you're going to be a politician, promise me everything free. New York City is going to see how that works out. It's not going to work out. Okay? But serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I'm glad that we have something to sing about. Are you glad? People sing about stuff all the time. Sing about broken relationships, broken this, broken that, damn, broke down
families, broke down cars. People sing about various things that they're broken down. We need something to lift us up, put us back together. And people in this world is broken with sin. You hear bad news everywhere. People are broken down on sin. They do this, they do that. And you can imagine some of the things that humanity does to each other. And it's awful. And the prisons are full of people that have been broken down. They're sinful. They're not in the presence of God. But those that have been set free, my friend, they have something to sing about and to praise God about. They've been set free. They don't want to murder. They don't want to hurt. They don't want to steal. They don't want to lie. They don't want to be thieves anymore because Jesus has set them free. Praise God. And so, come before His presence with singing. Verse 3 says there, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us. Not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Amen. And so this is a prayer of thanksgiving or a song of thanksgiving to God. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us. And I've heard people say, well, God didn't do a very good job of making that one. And whoever said that needed to look in the mirror. But yet God has made us. God created humanity. God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. I don't know how God did all that, all the body systems, all the nerve endings, all the stuff. We serve a God that's so far beyond our limited knowledge. And He knows everything. And we don't know everything. I've met a few people that thought they knew everything, but they could talk about 5 minutes and I knew they didn't know much of anything. But God does know everything. He knows everything about me. I'm glad that He does. He knows how to fix things. He knows how to put people back together. He knows how to heal relationships. He knows how to heal marriages. He knows how to heal problems between family members. He knows how to heal father-son relationships, mother-daughter relationships. God is able to heal. Amen. You say, well, God doesn't always do it. Yeah. Well, God does it if there's a willing heart. Amen on both sides. And it takes two to do that, know that. But yet God is able. Praise the Lord. He is God. He has made us. And we are not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God refers to us as sheep. This is probably not going to make you feel very good, but sheep are basically stupid. They have no way of protecting themselves. And I'm talking to me too, don't worry. They have no way of protecting themselves. They have no sense of direction. They have to be led. And they can't do anything unless they have a shepherd to lead them. And God says, come along, sheep, let me show you the way. Don't go too far with a stupid thing. God just wants us to be led by Him, and He's gracious enough to be our shepherd. He's referred to as shepherd in various places. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Because that's the reason Jesus came here to lead us to repentance and lead us to eternal glory. He saw the mess that we were in, that we didn't have no direction, we didn't know where to go, we didn't know what to do, we didn't know what to do with the sinful life that we were involved in, we didn't know what to do with the addictions that we had. And so God sent the good shepherd. Who laid down His life for the sheep. Because we couldn't do anything about the sin problem. We couldn't break the grip that sin had its hold on us. But God, Jesus, the good shepherd, breaks the hold because He's a good shepherd. Not only is He known as the good shepherd in John 10, 11, but He's known as the great shepherd in Hebrews 10, 13. More than that, He's also known as the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's the rapture of the church. So Jesus is the good shepherd, He's the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. You just need to be led by Him. If we just lead ourselves, we make a mess of things, but if God is in charge and we're being led by Him,
He will make everything the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let's be led by God. Let's seek God's face. Let's read your Bible and pray. I know that's simple, but it's way it goes. Praise the Lord. Just see what God has to say to you every day in His Word. Okay. Let's move on here. Verse 4 in our text. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him. Two things here in this verse, thanksgiving and be thankful. We see it twice there in Scripture. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Enter into worship with thanksgiving. I've seen it time again when people come to church and they begin to just not think about what they're going to do next week, what they've done this week. But they begin to concentrate on the Lord Jesus and begin to worship Him. And God, by His Spirit, begins to move upon people. And you begin to want to raise your hands and praise the Lord. You begin to want to say amen. You want to begin to say, Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. And worship comes from us, because we're concentrating on Him who is worthy to be worshipped. We're His people, and we're the sheep of His pasture. We begin to bless Him and worship Him, and we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and we begin to be thankful instead of whining and complaining about everything. We begin to bless His name and say, Lord, I praise You that You've given me everything that I have. You've given me eternal life. You've given me eternal hope. You've given me help with the problems now, and You'll be here tomorrow, and You won't leave me tomorrow, but You'll be here forever. My friend, we have a God we can trust. We have a God we can put our hand, we can say, I want your hand in my life. We have a God that's not weak or sick, but God is all powerful, all knowing, and all faithful. Always. True worship releases the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and hope in our life. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, with praise. A story in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat. A great army had come against Israel, Judah, and there was just no hope, because there was a numerous army. And what would happen at that time, armies would come in about harvest time, and they would come in and harvest all the crops and feed their army, and then they'd be gone and left and leave the people in poverty. And they assumed the same thing was going to happen this time, but King Jehoshaphat said, let's pray. And they gathered together. As a matter of fact, they gathered together and they fasted and prayed. And the Spirit of God came upon a man named Jehaziel, and he prophesied and says, the Lord, the war is not yours, but God's. And you know what Jehoshaphat did before the army, as they went out, he sent the worship team first. As they began to worship and praise the Lord and to worship God, as they were headed to an army they could not possibly defeat, the Lord set ambushes against them, and they began to fight with one another, and all the people were scattered everywhere, and Israel remained in power and in faithful, and God defeated that great army, and because they began to worship and praise the Lord. Man, you say, well, I don't praise the Lord that way. My friend, when you feel like doing something else and feel like getting mad and throwing a fit, why don't you just praise the Lord instead? Why don't you worship God in spirit and in truth? All the complaining and the whining we can do will never change one thing. But when we praise the Lord, when we shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph, when we begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth, I will tell you, God will give you victory, give you overcoming power. It's the Lord. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. Last of all, verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad God hadn't run out of mercy? His truth endures to all generations. Let me give you a couple of thoughts on here on illustration on why we should be thankful instead of being whiners. My parents didn't put up with whining very long. They'd work the whine out of you, or they'd spank the whine out of you. But think of this. Today up on a boat, on a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. Woman's point of view, and I envied her. She seemed so happy, and I wished I were so fair. And when she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. But she passed a smile. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. When I stopped to buy some sweets, a lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer in his manner and was so kind and warm. And I said, it's nice to deal with you, young man. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then he said, then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I have two eyes. Forgive me when I whine. Then walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue who stood and watched the others play. It seems he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see sunsets glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine, oh God, forgive me when I whine. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and do not forget all of his benefits. Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our lives from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. My friend, we've got so much to be thankful for. God loves, God cares for you. God is concerned about you. God walks you through everything that you go through. And God is never absent. He's never far away. Amen. I'm glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a powerful God, the mighty God. My friend, we have reason to give praise and thanks to God, for his mercy endures forever. He's not going to change. He's not going to quit loving you or quit helping you tomorrow. He's the same. He's a mighty God, the powerful God. You can trust in him. Let's be thankful unto him. Let's don't be people that just whine about everything or complain about it when there's enough of that out in the world. Let's give God thanks, for he's good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 150 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.